One of the most important statistics in normal regression analysis is the R-square, which tells us how well the model explains the dependent variable. In generalized linear models and other nonlinear models, the R-square doesn't exist, or even if it can be calculated, its interpretation is not the same as the normal R-square in normal regression analysis. We call these alternative statistics as pseudo R-squares. And in this video, I will take a look at the different pseudo R-squares in logistic regression analysis. The same principle applies to any nonlinear models. The actual statistics could be slightly different. So some pseudo R-squares that I will cover are specific to logistic regression. Some are applicable to any maximum likelihood estimates of any generalized linear model. Let's take a look at first what R-square quantifies so that we can understand what pseudo R-squares tell us and what they don't tell us. So this is the equation for R-square. The R-square is calculated, this is one of the ways, but it's calculated based on the residuals. So we have the residual variance here, and we take the residuals, it's the sum of, it's the difference between the predicted value and observed value, we take squares and then we take sum of squares. Then we have a prediction calculated by the sample mean only. So this is a prediction from a model with intercept only. So this is the prediction from null model, how far they are from the observed values, and this is the predictions from the actual model. So we compare, for example, how much better the estimated model is over a model that shouldn't really predict the variance in the dependent variable at all. So R-score has a couple of different roles. It can quantify the amount of variance explained in the data. If R-square is 0, then the model doesn't explain any variation in the data. If R-square is 1, then the model explains all the variance in the data. R-square also quantifies model fit. So R-square of 1 means that it's a perfect model, fits perfectly. R-square 0 means that it's equivalent to the null model that doesn't explain the data at all. And then we have the third interpretation, which is how well the predictions from the model correlate with the actual observed values. We also have a couple of different two other features in R-square. One is that the estimation criterion in normal regression analysis is maximizing the R-square. So you maximize the variance explained, and then that will give you the OLS estimates. Also, R-square can be used in nested model comparisons using the F-test. These last two criterion are not very useful for pseudo R-square. So pseudo R-square only focuses on these first three aspects of R-square, because pseudo R-squares are typically calculated based on the maximum likelihood estimates, and there is not always a straight relationship between the estimation criterion and the pseudo R-square. And also pseudo R-scores can be used for model comparisons or model comparison nested model testing the same way that R-score can be used. You can use the likelihood, log likelihood statistic directly as the maximization criteria and for model testing. But for interpretation purposes, the pseudo R-squares tell us some information about these three characteristics. So they can tell us how much the model explains of the data, how much better the data is than the null model, and how much better the model is than the null model, and how well the model predicts. So we have three: how much it explains, the improvement over null model, and prediction. So these three characteristics. And generally, we can have only at most two in these in any pseudo R-square. So pseudo R-square, if it's meant to quantify prediction, then it's not necessarily good for quantifying how much the model improves over the null model, or it doesn't tell us how much the model explains the data. The reason why we have so many different pseudo R-squares is that these three objectives, different objectives, are important, and sometimes we want to emphasize one objective over another. So this is a list of some of the pseudo R-square values of pseudo R-square statistics for logistic regression analysis. There are maybe a dozen more, but these are perhaps the most common. So this is the normal R-square. We're just calculating R-square and using the normal equation. So we take the predicted values and we calculate the residual using the predicted values. Then we calculate the difference from the mean value, and that gives us the r squared that's attributed to Ephraim. So that's but this is not very very useful because it while it's the same equation than the normal r square, it doesn't really tell us anything that normal r square does. Then we have the ones that are more commonly used. So McFadden r square compares the likelihood log likelihood of the model against the null model. The idea is that the log likelihood of a perfectly fitting model is zero, and this will go to one, and the log likelihood of the worst possible model that doesn't explain the variation of the dependent variable at all is the null model. So that's this ratio goes to one, and the McFadden's R square goes to zero. So that's quantifies the improvement over the null model. Another commonly used is Cox and Snell. The idea of this equation is that it's basically the same as this equation, but calculated using the divariance residuals. So this is if you calculate max normal linear regression analysis using maximum likelihood, and you apply this equation, then you will get the normal R square. The problem with this equation is that the maximum is less than one. It can be substantially less than one, and another pseudo R square that takes that weakness into account, if you consider it a weakness, is the Nagel-Kerkes R square, which is basically just a scaled version of the Cox and Snell R square, so that the maximum is one. So it's Cox and Snell divided by one minus log likelihood null to the power of two divided by n, which is the maximum of this equation here. So those are the ones based on the likelihood. Then we have McKelveny and Javoinas pseudo R square. This is an R square in the sense that it's how much variation is explained. So there's variation explained plus variation explained plus variation of the error term. So this is if you apply this to normal regression analysis, you will get the normal R square. The difference is that we are not looking at the predictions in the observed variable. Instead, we are using the latent variable formulation of the logistic regression model, and we are looking at how well the model explains the latent response variable, the latent variable that underlies the response variable, instead of the response variable itself. I have another video that explains the latent variable interpretation. Then we have two simple statistics that quantify actually how well the model predicts. We have the count R square, and the count R square simply classifies each observation into the number that it's more likely. So if a predicted probability for an observation is 51%, then the predictive value in the count R square for that observation is 1. If the predicted probability for observation is 49%, then the predicted value is 0 for the count R square. Then you just calculate how many predictions you got correctly, and you divide by sample size. If you predict randomly, the count R square will be 50%. So basically, this R square will always be really high. It's almost never below 50%, and it could go up to close to 100%. Then we have a coefficient of determination, discrimination, which is a bit more recent, introduced by Tuer in 2009. And this is also called Tuer pseudo R square. The idea is that we focus on the probability of the prediction. So we calculate the mean probability of those cases that had a value of 1, the mean of predicted probability of cases that had a value of 0, and then we calculate the difference between the means. So this quantifies whether the model predicts successes and failures differently. If there's a large difference in how successes and failures are predicted, then it implies that the model is good for prediction, and it has a high coefficient of discrimination and high pseudo R-square. Let's take a look at the examples, because these statistics are quite different. So this is some data sets, and we have the blue line is linear regression model, and the red line is logistic regression analysis. We have a couple of scenarios. In the first case, the model doesn't explain the data at all, so the R-square in OLS is 0. And we can see that all of these R-squares are close to zero, except adjusted version of McFadden's R-square, which is negative. So we have this adjusted R square here as well. So that if we had adjusted R square for the OLS, that would probably be negative as well. Importantly, the count R square is 52%. So our model doesn't explain data at all, but still we get half of the predictions correctly, because if we predict randomly, then we will get one or zero variable correctly with a 50% probability. Then we have a scenario here where the logistic regression curve and the regression line overlap. So this is the scenario where it wouldn't really matter whether you use logistic regression analysis or normal regression analysis, because the predicted probabilities are between 20 and 80%. Ideally, in this case, an ideal pseudo R-square would probably agree with the OLS R-square, which we can see here that the Cox and Snell R-square does and the Tuer R-square does, but and also the efference, because that's calculated the same way as the normal R-square. But for example, the Nager-Kake R-square is pretty high, McFadden's is too low, and count 74%, so that really tells us something very different than what the normal R-square does. So if you want to say that the model doesn't explain the data at all, then you can pick the McFadden adjusted R-square. If you want to say that the model predicts well, then you pick the count R-square. So it's kind of like pick your own result scenario. Of course, you should justify your choice, and if you want to answer a question how much variation the data explains, then the count R-square will be inappropriate for that. Then we have a model where the S-curve and the line start to depart. So the S-curve clearly bends down here, and the line gives us invalid predictions. Predictions exceeding one, predictions are below zero. And this is a scenario where we would really should not be using a linear model. Again, we see that the values are quite different. So some of them are close to R-square from OLS, some are not. And then we have the final scenario, which is interesting. This is the perfect prediction scenario. So the model predicts perfectly. When the x is below a cutoff, then y is always zero. When the x is above cutoff, y is always positive. The count and Tuer R-square, interestingly, both show that it's perfect predictions. This scenario demonstrates that the Cox and Snell, even if the model predicts perfectly, the Cox and Snell will not be one. So all these provide you a different value. So the question now is, which one should you use? And of course, this is a balanced model where we have ones and zeros that are equally with equal probabilities. We can have a model where the ones are three times as prevalent as zeros, and then these R squares will give us again a slightly different values. The problem is that people don't realize that these quantify different things. So when you take a look at our published examples, published papers, how they apply pseudo R-squares, quite often you see a pseudo R-square reported in a regression table. In an ideal case, there are two or three, and then they are just there, they are not reported. Sometimes they are not interpreted. Sometimes they are interpreted, and typically researchers interpret them as if they were the same as OLS R-square. So there, for example, you are comparing that there is a 11.9% difference, and that would be the difference between 22 and 35 here. It's not clear whether you can actually interpret the difference in Nagel-Kake R-square and how you would do that. But nevertheless, people think that you interpret these the same way as R-squares. So what's the, how should these be used then? There is quite a lot of disagreements on the value of these pseudo R-squares. I have my opinions, others have their opinions. There's an article in Strategy Management Journal that goes over the use of logistic and probit models in this journal, and in the end they have a recommendations table, and they're basically saying that model fit, you have to assess it somehow, and there is a disagreement on whether you should have a pseudo R-square or not. If you have one, you should really pay attention to it and report that it's not a normal R-square and it should not be interpreted as such. And then they give some other advice. So what's my take? It's that don't include pseudo R-scores. So that's my first recommendation. If you don't know what to do, just leave it out. It doesn't really hurt anyone that you leave out the statistic that your readers don't know how to how to interpret properly and if you don't interpret it yourself. There are exceptions to this rule. If you have a good reason good specific reason to include one, for example, if you want to know how well the model classifies, if you have a problem where you are interested in classifying cases, then the count or the cure R score could be very useful. So, but you have to have a specific reason for a specific coefficient instead of just going for the Cox and Snell and Nagel calculator, which are the two most common perhaps. Interpret the effect size graphically instead. So show other readers how does the logistic regression curve go. That's much more useful than giving them a pseudo R-score that they don't know how to interpret. Then if you're asked to include pseudo R-scores, sometimes you write a paper and then you send out to review, and the reviewer is used to looking at regression results and they always expect to have the R-score for the regression results. But they have your logistic regression analysis results without any R-score statistic. The reviewer thinks that there should be one. So what do you do about it? Or your co-author thinks that there should be one. In one of my articles, a co-author of mine wanted to have a pseudo R-score, and I gave him a pseudo R-score of 20 and a pseudo R-score of 50, and I told him which one would you like to have. And that was the end of the discussion. We didn't include any pseudo R-scores because there was no reason to. But it's very common that people want to have an R-score because normal regression analysis has one. I wouldn't argue against the reviewer. So, but I guess the co-author, it's okay. But I would just include a pseudo R-score of you if a reviewer asks me to. It doesn't really make that much of a difference. In that case, I would use multiple. So I would have at least the McFadden, Cox and Snell, and Tures. I wouldn't use the Nagelkarker because it tends to overestimate the OLS R-square, and you don't want to use statistics that make your model look more impressive than it actually is. So that's one rule. You should be conservative in what you present. And then if you are asked to interpret the R-square, I would interpret the Tures R-square. So that's my point, my take. This is the take from a person who wrote a paper to the Strategic Management Journal. So what do the experts say? Let's take a look at the book by Hosmer, Lemerson, and Studevant. This is the best book in logistic regression analysis. It's a bit technical, but it's a very, very good explanation. And for example, many of the diagnostics that we use for logistic regression analysis are based on the ideas presented in this book. They basically say that the pseudo R-scores are not that useful. They don't allow you to test whether the model is misspecified or not. There are better tools for that. And also, people who are used to reading logistic normal regression analysis results, and they see the R-scores from logistic analysis results, they will be confused. So you have a statistic that is not very useful for model diagnostics or analyzing whether the model is any good, and a statistic that is likely to mislead your readers, then the clear recommendation is that you probably shouldn't include those. But understanding the pseudo R-scores is important because oftentimes reviewers want you to include one, and quite often when you read a paper, it does include one.